WHUS Stores, I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's January 16th, 2023. Happy Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that time. This is to be rebroadcast on January 18th, 2023 at our regular times. WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Franz Storch. If you are watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment. I may be able to respond, and so may Fran. We are back. We're back from, Florida, doing our Florida thing. So anyway, Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you want to contribute information to the show, you can either make a comment down below here, or you can email me at bicycletalk, @gmail.com. Yes. So much to talk about. How about you want to listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk? WHUS.org, Facebook, Spotify, iTunes, or your favorite podcast outlet. Sorry, I've been away for 2 weeks, and I'm having a hard time getting my words out. Ron's rant of the week. We rode our bikes in Florida and we only had one vehicle honk at us.
In a mean way?
In a mean way, yeah. It was that Jeep. It was someone in a man vehicle, one of those things. And, but on the positive side, we only had one car honk at us for the whole time we were down there. So Franny and I went down to Florida. And that's, we're going to talk a little bit about that today because I saw some things down there which were just unbelievable. No, not alligators and snakes and things.
We
but
did
anyway,
see an alligator habitat sign.
We did see an alligator habitat sign. You're absolutely right. We did. Positive side, always a shout out to Billy and Laura. Rehab baby, stick to it. You're getting close. You're getting real close. Billy's already there. He's riding his bike and freezing his butt off by the sounds of I got a text from him the other day, and it looked like he might have been out on a very, very cold day. Too cold for me. I'm more of an inside guy this time of year. Anyway, so we're back from Florida, land of interesting birds, alligators, snakes to watch out for, and interesting politics. Interesting how those last two seem so much in common. Indoor cycling has begun. Spin, Spoga, and Zwift. So anyway, we will be occasionally talking about that sort of thing. And as we get into the show a little bit more, we might chat about that a little bit. But Fran is the Zwifting queen here. She spends a lot of time on Zwift at this time of year. And I spend a lot of time at the community center teaching classes because that's what I do this time of year. I have a class which we introduced a few years ago, pre-COVID, and it was extremely successful. And of course, then COVID came and, chased it all away. We call it Spoga. It's a half an hour of spin followed by a half an hour of yoga. And it's really calming and really fun. And it introduces people to the idea that they can actually get out and ride on a spin bike without being overwhelmed because it's only half an hour long. And I tend to keep the class a little bit more on the lower level side. So it's not too intense like some of my other classes that I do, which can be very, very intense. So anyway, depends on what you're looking for. And also remember, when you're going to an indoor cycling class, it is truly your workout. And you, just because the instructor tells you to do, push-ups on your handlebars, doesn't mean you have to do push-ups on your handlebars. And yes, that's a real thing. I don't get it. But anyway, there are some very bizarre forms of indoor cycling that I generally do not teach, practice, or participate in, or encourage. And if you can't do it outside, you shouldn't be doing it inside kind of guy. So if it's something that you do on your bicycle when you're outdoors, like, riding it, and, you know, maybe doing some hard work on it, some climbing on hills, that sort of thing, that's good. But when you start doing, like, push-ups on your bicycle, that's just a little strange to me. We used to kid around years ago when we were out riding, and we were really, really bored, and we used to do bicycle ballet on our bicycles. If you've never seen that before, you probably shouldn't. Anyway, the Spoga is very popular class. I draw a lot of people in for it, so I'm kind of excited. It starts tomorrow night, actually. I was just about to say next Tuesday, but that's tomorrow. So it starts tomorrow night, and I've already got a pretty good fill of people coming into it. So we'll see how that all works. Fran, in the meantime, has been out pounding away on the Zwift and riding, you know, big fast miles with her Bear Mountaineers.
Yeah,
Bear Mountain Mountaineers or whatever they are. Who knows?
Big shout out to Jim Nelson and Glenn Vedvik and Craig Westerlin and Courtney Hoffman and Daryl Sonichin and Buddy the Elf. And he calls himself Buddy the Elf. It's adorable.
Yeah.
And Greg Vermelia, and I'm not sure that's how you pronounce it. Okay. And lots of other my Bear Mountaineer friends.
Yeah.
If I didn't mention you, it's an oversight, and I should be mentioning you.
Right. Fran makes lots of friends riding in the virtual world of Zwift, and
which you can do too.
You can do too. I could do too, but I'm not going to do it because I'm riding a lot. I'm putting in right now. You know, 7 hours indoors a week on my bike. That's enough. That's enough for me. So anyway, moving forward, Mechanical Minute Cycling Tips. This is coming from our Florida trip, because when we were down in Florida, Fran's mom wanted our bicycles to be hung up because they were kind of in her way in the garage. She lives in a condo, and it's one car garage, and there's not a lot of room in there. And so she would kind of wanted things a little more neat and orderly, as she does. So I looked into some kind of fancy bike racks, and I was going to install something like that. And then it came to me that it was going to be a lot more expensive. And I went, well, I'm just going to put some hooks in. And you know those storage hooks, those silly like quarter inch or three, well, what are they? Maybe they're a little bit bigger, to quarter inch storage hooks that you screw into a rafter. I got a couple of those. I drilled some holes and I put them into the garage and hung the bikes up. So some people feel that that is not a lovely way to store a bike, but I think it's probably the least expensive and best way to store a bike, because it's super easy to do. It does no harm to the bike, which brings me to, is it okay to hang your bike by its wheels? Well, come to find out, it's better to hang your bike by its wheels than it is to not hang your bike by its wheels. So we have here, let me see if I have this article still. That's going to be the big scare. Do I even have it here? Anyway, there was a little piece here, and we're going to just pull it up here and open this up. So the point of hanging your bike by its wheels is that it gets it off the floor. And when we went down to Florida and we went to recover our bicycles that had been sitting for a very long period of time, since I hadn't been down there since, I don't think, before COVID.
Right.
And Fran had been down there once, maybe.
Three times.
Yeah. I was unable to make it for various reasons. One of them being my lovely little heart issue here. That's kept me away on one of the trips. But anyway, the bikes were sitting in the garage, and they were sitting with flat tires on concrete in the garage. Not good for the tires, not good for the rubber. You really want to get those things elevated, get them off of the floor. But that's where they were, so I was able to put some air back in the tires on both of them. Unfortunately, because they had sat so long, the tires weren't seating properly, so the first ride we went on with the bike I was riding on was a little bumpy because the tire didn't seat right. And so I had to, at the end of that ride, I had to deflate the tire, reinflate the tire carefully, and try to get it to seat correctly onto the rim. So it took the bumpy road effect out of the ride. That is really annoying, by the way, if you don't have it seated right. Now, there's a company, Park Tool Company, that actually makes a special tool. It looks like a set of channel lock pliers, and it has a special kind of curved piece on each side of it, and it's actually made to pull the tire back into the bead. It's a bicycle seating tool, a tire seating tool. And I used to have one of those when I had the bike shop because it was handy. It was easier than inflating, deflating, and messing around with it. It made it a lot easier to get the bead to seat properly into the rim. But I didn't have that, so I had to do the inflate, deflate method, which actually turned out okay. But it would have been better if the bikes were hanging, because they would have sustained a certain amount of air on the tires, which would have kept the shape of the tire on the rim, and therefore it wouldn't have been that much of a problem. So there's one good reason why you want to hang it by the wheels. The other thing is that the only part of this that I will warn you about is if you are riding on very expensive aerodynamic carbon, real thin carbon rim wheels, probably not such a good idea to hang it from the wheels, because you could do damage to the carbon fiber on the rims. Yet another reason why I don't ride carbon wheels. I'm going to make a cranky old Ron statement about that one, because they're just not necessary. Anyway, I know some people feel they're necessary and they really like them and all, but everything we have hanging in the garage, it's all hanging by wheels. And even the extra wheels that I have in our garage are hanging on storage hooks in the garage. It's just a great, great way to do it. So when I got done, I had a nice, neat little package in the corner of the garage where both of the bikes are hanging. I was nice enough to leave Fran's bike on the outside so it would be easier for her to get to, because she goes down more often than I do. So I wanted to make it as easy as possible for her to take it off the hook. But it's just a great way to store your bike. The other thing is, and if you can do this, if you're not just visiting a place every once in a while, but you're actually going down to your storage area, your garage, your shed, wherever it is that you store your bicycles, if you can just put a little bit of air in the tire every once in a while, it's probably a lot better for the tires. It'll help them hold their shape better. And as far as if you have spare tires, and this is especially if you've got some new tires that you're planning on using, but they're all, you know, crunched up into a little ball or whatever it is, how they come, the folding style tire, put it on an old rim. If you have an old rim available, then just put it on an old rim, put tube in there, inflate it a little bit, let it take shape to the rim. And that's really good for those tires too. The other thing is, so where do I get an old rim? Well, go down to your local bike shop. You know those guys that you love dearly, guys and girls that you love dearly, that work in the bicycle industry and take care of you at that last moment when you really, really need them. If you don't have that relationship with your local bike shop, you need to establish that. I'm always pushing the local bike shop thing because I was a bike shop owner for a long time and I was in the industry for 44 years. So I dealt with local bike shops a lot and within that industry and that economy. So I highly encourage you to establish a good relationship with your local bike shop. They're always throwing these things out. Okay, old rims, ones that just got twisted and damaged in some way, and now they are, you know, they replace them or whatever. If you can just put your tires onto, your new tires onto an old rim, and then give them some shape and let them kind of stretch their way into position, when you do go to put that brand new tire onto your bike, be it a clincher tire or a tubular tire, it's a whole lot easier to put them on when they've been existing on another rim. So that's another little tip you're going to get from me as far as Ron's mechanical tips of the week here. that's a really good thing. So the thing that some people feel is hanging a bicycle is going to do some sort of damage to the bike. It's probably not going to do that. The rims were built to support not only the weight of the bicycle, but also the weight of the rider on them. And when you're hanging them from a hook and that weight of only the bicycle is coming down on it, it's way less than it would be if you were riding it down the road. So remember that they're designed to carry the weight of the rider and be able to withstand a force of rolling over bumps in the road. So it's pretty much not going to really do any damage. I've never seen it take a wheel out of true or do anything like that. It really, and the best thing is it's up and out of the way, and you can, you know, if it gets bumped into, it's not going to hurt anything. It's not going to scratch anything. It's just a really, really great way to do it. And hooks are inexpensive. You can buy them for very, very little money. And you can at your local hardware store. And you'll find that they're super easy to put in. I always drill a hole first so that I've got the ability to you know, to make it easier to screw it in, but make sure that you drill the hole the proper size because you don't want it to be too big and then have the hook pull through. You want to make sure that the hole you drill is actually a bit smaller than the threading on the hook. And just screw it all the way in. It works great. It's really a super way of doing it. When I had my bike shop, that's how we stored all our bikes. And I think almost every bicycle shop that's out there in the repair area, I think they pretty much, most everybody has storage hooks that they hang them on, hang the bikes on. So it's a great way to store your bike. It's a beautiful thing. So that is my tip of the week. Figure out a way to store your bike. Get it off the floor for the winter. There's other ways of doing it too, of course. There are these horizontal carriers that you can purchase that are out there, and they will basically hook onto the handlebar and the seat, and you can hoist them up. It's called a hoist system, and it uses like a pulley type system that lets you raise and lower the bikes. And if you got really, really high roof, high ceilings, or a loft type area, maybe a barn, something like that, that's a great way to do it because it'll just keep the bike, you know, hanging freely without putting any pressure on anything other than the handlebars and the seat, which aren't going to be much of a problem either. So you can do that. There's also floor stands that are made that are commercially made, which are sometimes people actually use these in like an apartment setting or a small house, and they have a room that they can put a couple of bikes on, and they have an upper and a lower bike, and it looks nice. You know, it kind of has a kind of a decoration look to it too. So there's a way of doing that. Or you can build your own if you're creative with wood and you want to make something that looks really nice. You can do that too. But again, you need the wall space in order to do that. So that's definitely a good thing. Is it okay to hang your bikes upside down? There's no harm at all in hanging your bikes upside down unless it's got a hydraulic brake system. Hydraulic brake systems. Another one of Ron's not in my garage type items that's out there. I don't own a bicycle with a hydraulic brake system, so therefore I don't have a problem with it. But if you do have that, then you should follow the procedure that's detailed above your hydraulic brake, with your hydraulic brakes that you got. Just be careful lifting and removing your bike so you don't drop it. And how close can you hang bikes? Well, you want to install the hooks about 18 to 20 inches apart, which is going to be your kind of handlebar width. And that seems to work. You can hang one bike with the handlebars up, and then the next bike to it, you can flip it around and you hang it from the rear wheel. So you can do the front wheel, rear wheel, and you get a little bit more space there, a little more economical on your space if you need that. So, but you want to make it easy to get the bikes on and off the hooks, however you handle it. So So yeah, it's okay. Hang your bike up. Please hang your bike up. Or take your bike off the hook and go for a ride if it's nice weather and you can get out there and do that. We're not really having the best of weather right now. We're experiencing winter. It's kind of cool and dark right now here. We're not having a particularly cold winter, but it's certainly not the kind of weather I would like to ride my bike in. So I'm kind of not really spending a lot of time on my bike outdoors at this time. And the rail trails that are near us are all unpaved. So they are, how do I put this? They're similar to riding your bicycle in thick peanut butter. So it's just really not that much fun. It's a lot of resistance. If you're looking for that, great. You're getting some great training in, but you're not really doing the trails a whole lot of favors by riding on them when they get that soupy. So it's going to cause possible damage to the trail in the long run. And, you know, I just try to stay off of them. Now, when it gets colder out, when it gets below freezing and the trails stiffen up, so they're no longer like riding in peanut butter, and the peanut butter becomes frozen, then it's a lot easier to ride on the trails, and that definitely helps. What you have to watch out then for, though, is you do have to watch out for ice. And ice is very, very tricky, and it can take you off your bicycle faster than you've ever been removed from your bike in the past. So you got to be super, super careful on the ice, especially if it's black ice and it doesn't look like it's frozen, but it's real frozen, and that black ice is so slippery. And the other thing is, if you're riding in those conditions and you get a little bit of a dusting of snow down on the trail, and there's no real indication what's underneath that snow, and there's ice underneath that snow, that will take you down very quickly too. Now, there are things that you can do for that if you are riding in the winter, and that is you can invest in studded tires. Yeah, they make studded tires. They make them for both mountain bike style bikes, and they also make them for a 700C wheel. So you could put them on a hybrid or a cyclocross bike or something like that, and they work great. They really, really make a huge difference. So yeah, you can ride in the winter if you want to. If you're serious about it, you can certainly put studded tires on your bike, and you can ride in all kinds of weather. But when the trails get soupy like they are here right now, we're not quite, like, we're getting just below freezing at night, and then it gets up into the mid-30s, sometimes the low 40s during the day, and the trails are just, they're just not
no fun
to ride on anymore. So, and again, there is a certain amount of damage. So one of our club members posted a picture. They were all out riding on the rail trail one day, and they had stopped to do a very nice service. There was a tree down, and all of them got off their bikes, and they got underneath this tree, and they lifted it up and put it off to the side of the trail, which was a very nice thing to do. But as I looked at that picture, I could see all of the wheel marks as to the fact that they were sinking into the trail. So it's going to create kind of a rumble on the trails. It'll all settle out in spring. It usually does. It's usually not a problem, but it's not always the best time to be out there. So anyway, that's my feeling about that. Store your bike in the winter, or put it on a trainer, or go to your local, community center, gym place that might have an indoor cycling class, and start taking cycling classes, or get on Zwift and do your thing, whatever you need to do. There's so much cool stuff that's happened now within the indoor training market, as far as being able to communicate with others that are doing the same thing, join virtual rides, doing that sort of thing. There's lots of ways to get through your winter, and it'll be over soon. Don't worry. Don't worry, it'll be March before you know it.
No.
Still not warm enough for this guy, but you know what? It will be March before you know it. And then, you know, you're going to be looking at, okay, I'm getting ready to get out, get my bike ready to get out. We'll talk about that maybe as we get deeper into the or closer to the spring as to what do I do with my bike now that it's been hanging all winter long. There's a few things. First of all, I'll make a quick suggestion because this is the time to go see your local bike shop. Let them fix it all up for you and get it ready to go so the first nice day when you want to take your bike out, it's all ready to go. Just got to throw a little air in the tires and go. Local bike shops, I'm going to tell you, they are anxious to see you because of two things. First of all, they're not very busy right now. And second of all, they could really use the money if you want to have some work done on your bike. So that's kind of a nice thing too. But third, they just like to see people because they don't see people in the wintertime as much. So, you know, go down, hang out. It's the, my bike shop was like the Floyd's barbershop of the bicycle world. If any of you out there know what Floyd's barbershop is all about, you can give me a thumbs up on that one. If you don't, I'm dating you. Anyway, that's it. I'm way over your age group. But anyway, it's a reference. It's a silly reference. So anyway, that's what I got there for that. And we'll just get back here to my page, which just disappeared on me. Oh, I hate this. The other things that I want to talk about here, hopefully will come up on my screen here soon. Very, very disturbing. I've got a few things out there. First of all, if anybody's been watching any cyclocross, I'm assuming that you have been. There's some great World Cup cross going on right now. And I'm just loving watching Wout van Aert. He's really cooking right now. It's going to be an interesting world's race this year. I think that we're going to have some interesting things going on there. We've also got about 16 riders from the United States that are participating in the worlds this year. It's very interesting. Google just ate my show. Don't you hate that when that happens? We're going to have a pretty good representation. I just got a notice from USA Cycling on that, and it looks pretty good for us having people over there. I know that our friend Lizzie Gonzalez is over there right now, and she's been racing on the Euro scene and getting her eyes opened, I'm sure, to what it's like to race in Europe, because boy, it can be crazy over there. It can be like super duper crazy. So there's just a lot happening right now in Europe, and it's all in gearing up for the Worlds, which are coming up in February. So very, very exciting. I was watching, as I do this time of year, I was watching some footage from the one of the Belgian races, I think. And boy, those guys can really ride a bike. I got to tell you, they really ride through things, and it's seamless for them. They just make it look so easy, and they bunny hop all the barriers. They just hop over them, just ride right through them. I'm amazed. I can't do that, but anyway. I'm old and I'm slow, and you know, those things happen, but oh well, that's what it is. So anyway, moving on, it's Martin Luther King Day, and on my Facebook page, you will see posted a picture that was taken back in 1967 of Martin Luther King Jr. having fun on a bicycle. Yeah, you know, it's bicycles, it's Martin Luther King Day. We got to play around with that. That's a good thing. The civil rights leader took time now to get some cycling in. And if he did it, then you can too. So there you go. That's it. That's my shout out. The bicycle is a very interesting thing too, because, you know, when you ride a bicycle and you no longer become a victim of forced to use a motorized vehicle, and you start getting yourself out to commute on the bicycle and run around town, do whatever you need to do, run your errands, do shopping on the bicycle, you create a level of freedom, which is really, really important. And, you know, this is a good day to talk about freedom. It really is. So we're going to move forward now from there, and we're going to go on to the just back from Florida. So we're going to talk about bike lanes, automobile awareness, and of course, e-bikes. Fran will get a kick out of this.
Yes.
I'll relate a story that we have. We have a couple of stories, in relation to our trip in Florida. By the way, the reason why we went to Florida is because Fran's mom lives in Florida. She lives over on the West Coast, and she lives in Venice, Florida. It's on the Gulf, and it's a seemingly overpopulated, soon to be even more overpopulated area on the West Coast of Florida, as the East Coast is already filled up to the max, I think, right now. So the development that's happening on the West Coast is, like, it's a little on the frightening side. Good news is that there are bike lanes, kind of, sort of. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We saw some amazing lane development, really top of the notch roundabouts, lane developments and all in Sarasota. We're really, really, really impressive. We were going down, what's that, Ringling Drive? Is that what that's called? Ringling?
Yeah,
it's
Boulevard.
Ringling Boulevard. Just box outs everywhere, protected lanes as we went down the road. It was really, really cool. So anyway, you know, things are happening in Florida. As the development happens, hopefully they will continue to develop the roads. But one of the things I wanted to point out is I rode my bike down to the beach to meet with my friend Ellen, who used to race bikes back when I was racing bikes, and she now lives in Venice, Florida, and she's a yoga instructor there, and she teaches yoga on the beach for free in the mornings. So I decided to go down and just say hi, because, you know, you gotta connect with your old friends and all. Ellen and I go way, way back. We were both racing bicycles at the same time. We were both reps in the industry at the same time. As a matter of fact, I got her old job. She was the Fuji rep, and she also rode for the Fuji Sundance women's racing team, too. The first, I think, really, the first all-women's racing team in the United States. I believe that was the Fuji Sundance team. Someone can fact check me on that one, but I'm pretty sure that's correct. And anyway, when she left her job with Fuji Bicycles and went to Raleigh Bicycles, the position was open, and I was encouraged to apply for it, and I did, and I got the job. So I ended up working for Fuji America for 10 years, actually, for quite some time. And that was before they became Advanced Sports, which everything changed. It was back in the early days when a gentleman by the name of Ken Maria was in charge of everything. He was he started out selling bicycles out of the trunk of his car, and it grew into what it was. And then Fuji's became super popular in the 70s. They because they were one of the first Japanese bicycles to come into the United States, and they worked really good for not a lot of money. So they were exceptional. They came with Sun Tour components and Diacomp brakes and all, and Sugino cranksets. And if anybody out there is as old as I am, you know what I'm talking about. But They were night and day difference from a lot of the product that was coming out of Europe, unless it was a campy bike. And, you know, campy bikes were expensive and these bikes were not. So it was definitely a thing. But anyway, I worked for Fuji for 10 years. Ellen worked for Fuji before me. So I went over to see Ellen one morning, and she has this 8 o'clock and a 9 o'clock yoga class that she teaches. So I got on my bike at about 8:15 and rode down to the beach to see her. And the road that Fran's mom lives on is not very long, and then it gets out to more of a main road, which is called Venice Avenue. And Venice Avenue goes all the way into the beach. It'll go all the way through. The problem with it is the bike lane goes for about one block before there is no bike lane. And they put a, the toilet paper of bicycle safety up on the side of the road, you know, the share the road sign. And you're basically sharing the road with anyone who's driving a motorized vehicle in that right lane. Bonus, there are two lanes. There's a right lane and there's an outside lane. My experience with that was that the motorists were completely aware of how it works. I consumed that lane. I came about 3 feet out into that lane. I rode all the way down the beach. No one took my lane all the way through. Everyone went out to the outside lane. No objections, no problems. The speed limit there was 30 or 35 miles an hour. And most people were abiding by that. I was impressed. I was really impressed. And I think that there's a reason for this. And I'm going to state that in the next level of what I'm going to talk about here. The bike lanes, on the other hand, or the ones that are marked out with the Sharo, you know, the toilet paper of bicycle safety, and the white line, the other piece of toilet paper of bicycle safety, they're only about 18 inches wide. It's treacherous. They're like, you know, if people stick to the road lines and don't veer out at all when they go by you, they're really, really close to you. They're definitely closer than 3 feet. And you would think that they would maybe, because it is the west coast of Florida and things have developed later, that they would have made those lanes a little bit wider. But the lanes are definitely a little bit on the treacherous side, I would say. They're there. They're marked because it's I guess someone felt there was a responsibility to do it, but they're not safe at all. So that part I wasn't really thrilled about. But on the other hand, Fran and I rode to Coffee the last day we were there, and we got onto one of those roads and we rode it all the way to the coffee shop, and we didn't really have a problem with it. We were fine. No one was really bad at all. We did have one vehicle on our way back when that beeped his horn at us. But it was the only one in all the days that we were down there. It was the only one. We also spent a lot of time riding on the Legacy Trail in Florida. If you are in that Sarasota area, the Sarasota-Venice area, you'll find that the Legacy Trail is awesome. It's a solid, I would say, 6 feet wide. It's very wide. And
paved.
And it is paved. And it is, yes, it is Florida flat, except for a couple of big bridges that go over major roads. But again, even that, you know, the bridges are, they're actually stepped up so that if you were in a wheelchair or something like that, you could actually get up and over the grade because the grade's a little bit steeper than probably ADA access, but maybe I'm wrong there. I don't know. But anyway, the trails are great. They're really, really good. When you get to a crossing area where there's a crosswalk on the road, there's a button to push at almost every intersection. When you push the button, the lights just start flashing and the cars stop. They really do let you through. There are some where you have to wait because it's a busy enough road where there'll be two or three lanes on each side of the road and you'll definitely want to stop. But it changes very, very quickly, and it just seems like Florida figured it out. They're getting better. They're definitely getting better. So I felt quite safe when I was on the Legacy Trail, and now that the Legacy Trail goes all the way up to Sarasota from Venice, in one direction, it's 20 miles now. So you could actually go out for a 40-mile bike ride and feel somewhat protected. It does get a little bit more crosswalk oriented as you get into Sarasota because it's a busy city, and it's a pretty big city. It's busy. I don't know how many people live in Sarasota. It does get busy, so you have to be cautious at intersections when you're crossing intersections. But just really well developed. And then we rode it up to the to that Ringling Ringling Avenue or whatever it was, Ringling
Boulevard.
And then we got on the bike trail at that point and then rode into, when, of course, another coffee shop, because that's what you do. You ride your bike to a coffee shop, right? So anyway.
But we didn't have to go that way. But we went on the spur.
Right. We could have gone a different way. We found out afterwards when we rode back, we took a different road. And it was a little bit easier, but it was not as... I would say it was not as safe because it didn't have the box outs. It didn't have the separated lanes. It didn't have what they had developed on Ringling Boulevard. But pretty cool, you know, because we got to see both sides of that. And I'm not that uncomfortable with riding in traffic on the other road, so it didn't seem that bad to me. And I think it was even a little faster than, because we were riding during a busier time of the day, I think it was even faster than driving
Sarasota
a car.
Sarasota has 54,764 people.
Okay, Fran just said Sarasota has, because she's so far away from the mic, we wouldn't hear that. But anyway, she...
54,764 people.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. That's a shout out to the person who said, could you get Fran to get closer to the mic when she talks? I got a comment once. Anyway, so it was, you know, it's a busy city. It's definitely a busy city. There's a lot going on there. There's a lot of bike traffic in the city. And now we're going to talk a little bit more about bike traffic because I'm amazed. E-bikes. Did I mention e-bikes? Did I mention the fact that I think there's more e-bikes on the road in Florida than there are regular bikes? Is this a problem? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? The execution of safety and awareness of bicycles on the road is number one, not putting in bike lanes, but putting more people on bikes on the road. It's a proven fact. That's the way it works. The more people you see on bicycles when you're driving a motorized vehicle, the more aware you are of the fact that bicycles are out there with you in traffic, and the roads automatically become safer because they slow the drivers down, and the riders are aware. I mean, the drivers are aware of there being bike riders out there. So Fran and I are out on one of our rides, and we went down to another beach, which is kind of south of Venice, I think is where that was. And we, when we were coming back, Fran has gone down there enough times, and my friend Ellen also showed her some of the neighborhood roads to ride on. Yeah. And so you kind of dance through the neighborhoods if you're going to be smart on your bike down there, because the main roads are just busy, really, really big, fast, and busy. But those little back roads that go through people's neighborhoods, when you figure out how to connect them and connect the dots, you don't usually see many cars on them because people are either home or they're away, but they're not driving on those roads because it's not the fastest way to get anywhere. So anyway, Fran had devised this wonderful way of getting us down to this beach.
Minnesota Beach.
And we did it by just going by lots of people's houses. Now, while we were there, we also got to see lots of people's houses that had roof damages and property damage because, you know, the hurricane was just, 3 months ago? 4 months ago at the most. And so there was a lot of damage because that was the coast that was hit the hardest. And that was an area that was hit very, very hard. So shout out to those poor people that are still putting their lives back together down there because it was quite a big mess. But the Cat 4, almost Cat 5 hurricane will do that. It'll make a big mess of things. But anyway, we rode through these great neighborhoods, which is really fun because there's nobody there. And that's the way you ride in a place like that. You figure out where the housing developments go and how to wiggle and connect them all together. And it really makes it a lot safer. So that was really cool. So anyway, we're coming back and we went into this, I think it's a state park that we rode into. And connecting to that state park is a trail, a hiking slash or a walking slash cycling trail that runs along this canal. It's the Venice Canal Trail. Is that what they call
Venetian
that?
Venetian Waterway.
Venetian Waterway.
And that's the Intracoastal.
Get over here.
It's so the Venetian Waterway, which is next to the Intracoastal. And the Venetian Waterway is a path that's on either side of the Intracoastal in Venice. And on one side, it goes down to, it ends up on Shamrock. And yeah. Shamrock is one of those roads that goes back to the neighborhoods, which will take you out to Manasota Key.
Right.
And on the other side, if you go all the way down, you'll wind up at Casperson Beach.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really cool. So we end up on this trail and we're going along and all of a sudden we see like a lot of e-bikes getting onto the trail.
Yeah.
And
on the Venetian Waterway.
Like a lot of them getting on the Venetian Waterway trail.
Yeah.
And you know, we stop for a while. We're watching and there's more and more coming. And then we finally just decide to join in and blend in with them and started talking to the people that were, you know, riding their e-bikes. And they were, you know, moving along about 15 miles an hour. And, you know, we're just kind of riding along with them because we can, it's flat and it's not hard to go 15 miles an hour. But they're all on e-bikes. And so I started talking to a couple of the people on the ride. And I said, is this like an organized ride? And the gentleman said, yeah, we're the e-bike enthusiasts of Florida. And I said, really? And is it a club? And he said, yeah, it's a big club. Well, it is a big club. Like it is such a big club that there are 30, I just checked, I have friended them on Facebook and they have not yet accepted me, but I'm hoping to get them to allow me to join them because they are particular about that. They ask you whether you are a resident or a snowbird. Funny, huh? So I put myself down as a snowbird and explained the situation, and I'm just kind of waiting for them to get back to me, but I haven't heard anything back yet. But anyway, there are 3,400 people are in the e-bike enthusiasts of Florida. 3,400 people. So we joined in on a bike ride and we're chatting with these people and they're just like, they are just, what's the word? Cavelling about their e-bikes. They were just so psyched that they were riding these. There were different age groups, different ability levels, but they were all able to keep up with one another because they were all on e-bikes. And we were able to keep up with them because we're fit and it's not hard. So it was kind of fun. And they were on a ride that was being led by a gentleman up in the front. And he had 49 people show up for his ride that day. 49. So they told me that there are rides posted all over Florida and they go to different areas and they go for bike rides and they get these big, you know, like it's not really a Peloton, but it's kind of a Peloton of e-bikes. And they just go out and ride for recreation. And some of them have, you know, full bags and panniers and all that all over them. And then others, you know, I think I saw somebody with one of those little toy dogs, you know, that it's really a dog, but it looks like a toy because it's little. But, you know, they bring them with them. And it's hysterical. It's absolutely hysterical. And no one is being offensive in any way. They're all, you know, obeying the rules. They have rules. They have certain things that you're required to do when you're riding. I had this one guy I was riding alongside and, you know, we could see a rider coming towards us. And, you know, the trail's fairly wide. So he's like, oh, you know, ride her up. I said, just hold still. I'm not going anywhere. I'll just stay right here real tight with you. And then they were able to pass no problem. And I looked over and I said, I used to sit in 100-man Pelotons. This is a piece of cake. This is no problem. Just relax. And we just, you know, rode together and chatted the whole way. It was really fun. Really, really kind of a fun thing. And a real eye-opener for me to see the organization involved with people getting out and just going for bike rides on an e-bike. I always think of an e-bike as more of a utilitarian vehicle, which I think it is in many ways for a lot of people, because, you know, you can put lots of, you can put bags of groceries on them, or you can pull a trailer with them, or, you know, I see them being used by people who are delivery people now. You know, the e-bike thing is really like a, it's a thing that I see it as more of a work vehicle than I do a recreational vehicle. This is total recreation. This was like so cool. It was very cool to see. That was just a big realization. Now, there are others that I know that go to Florida, and they are road riders, and they get out, and this is another Florida phenomenon. And it is, I have friends of mine that go to Florida, and when they go for a ride, they go for an organized ride. It average speeds around 25 miles an hour, and they're in 50 to 150 person pelotons going down the road. They just consume the road. That's what they do, and that's how they keep it safe. I don't know that that's very good for the relationship of the bicycle versus the car and all, but they say it's the only way to safely ride a bike in Florida is to get in one of these pelotons and just sit in and go for a ride. And I know a number of people that do it, and it certainly... it makes me concerned, because it would only take one angry motorist to make a big mess out of that whole situation. But that's the way you ride your bike when you're in Florida, because it's just so busy. And it's also so flat. So it's really, you know, really easy to maintain a fairly high speed down there. So kind of cool. That's my Florida update. I got a shout out here to the state of Massachusetts, who that's our northern neighbor here, and they have just passed some vulnerable users laws that are out there and definitions, and this was posted. It's on my site, so you can check it out on the Bicycle Talk site, but this is from January 4th. And the new laws for 2023 include following critical roadway safety measures. It defines vulnerable road users to include people walking and biking, roadside workers, people using wheelchairs, scooters, skateboards, roller skates, etc. It requires a safe passing distance to be 4 feet. Big move, Massachusetts. 4 feet for drivers giving clearance to vulnerable road users. A lot of places across the country, it's 3 feet. There are a few states now that are 4 feet. Possibly Pennsylvania is another one that's 4 feet. I can't remember. I remember seeing that one time. But anyway, Massachusetts has just graduated to the real world of 4 feet, so for safety, which is cool. Requires state-contracted trucks to be equipped with safety side guards, mirrors, and backup cameras to reduce fatalities of people walking and biking. How about that? Clarifies the process for municipalities to lower speed limits on state-controlled roads on the roads they control. Develops a standardized analysis tool to be used to report crashes and incidents involving a person biking or walking. Requires bicyclists to use red lights at night, which means all bicyclists must use both front white light and rear red light when riding at night. Note, police cannot stop cyclists for a light violation. That's a biggie right there, too, because that was kind of a... it was a way to pull over someone who was less fortunate and would possibly... It was a profiling thing that was happening. So they've eliminated that. So you have to have the light on, but it's not enforced, I guess, is what they're saying. They won't pull you over for it. They may, you know, give you a shout out on the loudspeaker on a police vehicle, but I don't think that they can really pull you over for it. So anyway, and it all works on a critical step towards Vision Zero. And that's a really big deal that's going on right now in Massachusetts. So I'm really psyched to see that, you know, our neighboring state of Massachusetts, which has a healthy, I mean, very, very healthy bicycle population.
Yeah.
If you have ever spent any time whatsoever in the Boston area, you're going to see that there's a lot of people on bikes. There's a number of universities up there, and it's really, if quite honestly, if you want to get from point A to point B in Boston, it's way faster on a bicycle than it is in a motorized vehicle. And their public transportation infrastructure is pretty good in Boston too. Some people, the people who live there complain about it, but I've always thought it was pretty efficient and works really well. But anyway, so that's kind of a cool thing. And Massachusetts is just moving forward, doing the right thing and making the step forward. This is going to definitely be a positive thing. I've got some other things I was going to talk about, but of course we have certainly run out of time here, and we will just include that next week. I want to remind people that the UCI road season has started. The Santos Tour Down Under is opened like a couple of days ago, I think on the 13th of the month, and it's the first UCI World Tour Professional road race, and it's in South Australia every January. So that's kind of a cool thing. We're kind of keeping our eyes on that to see who's riding and who's not riding right now. There are some retirements announced. There are some riders like Chris Froome, who says, I'm not retiring from bike racing. You know, there's a lot of things going on out there. I'm going to move on to the events. We have the tentative date for the Ride of Silence in Storrs, Connecticut on May 17th, 2023. We will keep this, we will keep reminding you of this as we get closer to the moment. It looks really good. I went to a Bike Mansfield meeting the other night, and I made a small presentation with them. They're very excited. One of the people who has been working with the University of Connecticut, making the roads safer for cycling and pedestrian use on campus, was there, and she was really excited because she said the police department last year when they came and helped us, they were just so psyched. They can't wait to do this again. It's going to be a big thing, and if you're listening from outside of our Storrs Mansfield area, we'd love to bring you out. If I could just fill the roads with bicycles this year, it would be really cool. Kevin Mahan and I are involved with this. This was Kevin's little brainchild here, and we're both really, really excited. And he's already started doing some work with it. So we hope to see everyone on the 17th of May for the Ride of Silence in Storrs. I'll have more information as we get closer. Let's see, the bicycle game is still going on in Hartford and we'll be there all summer long. Definitely something to check out. It's at the Connecticut History Museum, and it's on Elizabeth Street in Hartford, 1 Elizabeth Street. So you might want to check that out too. That's a cool thing. The World Cyclocross Championships are coming up on February 4th and ending on February 5th. Lots of things going on there. That'll be exciting. Continued shout-outs to Too Tall Billy and Laura. And, nice to see you guys looking healthier these days. Very, very good. It's always good. Billy's always looking healthy. He's just, that's the way it is. Anyway, don't forget about the bicycle game at the Connecticut Historical Society in Hartford. I'm going to say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, the lack of places to safely ride, and join the revolution of change. Remember, when presenting to your local governments, come with solutions, not complaints or problems. Positive beats negative every time. Please support your local bike shop. Respect one another. It's 2022. Initiate. Participate. Ride your bike and tell everyone you know. And finally, take on the Pedal and Ron Challenge. If you have a motorized vehicle, park it and use your bike just one day a week. You may surprise yourself. It could turn into two. It could turn into five. You'd be surprised. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week. WHUS Stores and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week. I